initiative.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Isn't it great to celebrate God, which we do a lot around here? But also, it's good to celebrate one another, and God loves to celebrate over us and for us to celebrate one another. And today's Mother's Day. Now, before you guys switch off, I'm not talking about mothers the whole morning, okay? Or any single people or young people, if you're not, you know, want to be a mother yet, don't switch off. But God, He does want to honour and celebrate mothers today, and for us to celebrate our mothers, and what a fantastic job they do. Give yourselves a round of applause. Come on! And Clive often jokes, he comes home and it's like, what have you been doing all day, you know? And actually, I think motherhood is one of the hardest jobs going, if you like. It's discipleship. It is discipleship. It's the hardest thing to do, but it's the most rewarding thing to do. It demands or draws out the best in us, but it also can draw out the worst in us. And I learnt that. that's nothing anybody can teach you. You just learn as you go. God gives you these children. They're a blessing. They're a privilege from Him. But they hit where it hurts, just to warn you. they hit our selfishness. They hit our weaknesses. And they all come out. And actually, probably just, well, Joe isn't here. My firstborn... I think just really have the toughest part in it all, I think, because that's where we cut our teeth in being parents. And it's not easy initially for a mother or a dad, and it's not always easy for the firstborn, because that's where it's all worked out. And then gradually you hear everybody say second and third, fourth, etc. It gets easier. There was a guy at the leaders' conference here on... this week had 8 kids. It's like, oh my word, I take my hat off to you. 8 children, amazing. Whatever stage you're at and as a parent, you know, young or teenager can be extremely hard. And I was thinking of Jesus, you know, taking on the 12 disciples. I used to think of them as being older, but actually they were all pretty young guys, teenagers. And He took them in their rawest form and spent 3.5 years with them, not just talking at them, but with them. And that's what parenthood is. It's this whole role of discipleship, living with them, working it out with them, okay? People that we see saved, it's not just like taking them to a meeting as such and getting them to church, but actually it's, you've got to walk it through alongside with them, you know, this discipleship. And I just want to say to mothers especially, we can go through this thing of thinking that we need to be doing something more spiritual with our lives, or, you know, because it can be hard work and you can't see past the next nappy or the next feed or the next sleep or waking moment if you don't get any sleep. But it's, don't think that one day you're going to get onto something more spiritual. Because actually, God has given you these children. They are your disciples. The Old Testament said, says right in the beginning, go forth and multiply, okay? And then Jesus said, go and make disciples. So actually, when you look at it, you're totally in the will of God by having kids and bringing them up in the Lord, okay? Discipleship is discipleship. There is nothing more spiritual. Jesus said, go and make disciples. There is nothing more spiritual than doing that. You're in the will of God when you're at home with your kids. You're totally in the will of God, bringing up your kids to the Lord. And you're doing it by faith, that as you teach them, as you train them in the way they should go, that's your part. But you're totally in faith. The next part is they will not depart from it. God holds them to that. That is not your job, not your responsibility. You teach and train them in the way they should go. And God will keep them on the right path. Okay? So you're doing it by faith that he will fulfill. Amen. And if my mum was healthy, she's going to be here in the next service. But I would, this morning, I want to give, want to honour my mum. Now, she didn't become a Christian until I was 19. So she didn't know God. I think she believed in God, but she certainly didn't walk with him or anything like that. But she had grown up with a morality that is quite rare in this nation at the moment. She grew up with a reality of godly ways, and she tried to instill those into me, tried to keep me on the right path, okay? Now, I didn't listen to her at all, but I would want to honour her for the fact that without God, she tried. She taught me right from wrong, and I knew what was right and wrong, and I still went out and did the wrong. Okay, but I would want to honour her for doing that, even though she didn't know God. And I would honour her for the fact that when she had the choice of life or death, which is where she got to in herself, she chose life. She chose God. Okay, and I just want to say this, I'm going to, in the next service, just honour her for that. Because through her, I then got saved a couple of months later, and I wouldn't be standing here today if she hadn't made that decision and choice for her life. And the other person that I would love to honour right now is Caroline. Can you bring up that rose, please? Can you come up, Caroline? Yes. You've had a red one. Now you can have a white one. And I want to give that to you, and I want to say thank you. Okay? Because you taught and trained my husband. And he... And I have to say, you did a fantastic job. He came well-trained. Well-trained. And I'm so thankful. God knows how thankful. I'm so grateful every day for my husband, for what a fantastic husband he is. So thank you.
Bless you.
Okay. Another... but a whole other area that I would like to say thank you to Caroline for, that I want to talk about for a while, is how generous she has been and her family were to my brother. Okay, so I'm sharing some testimony here. My brother is quite a hard character to spend time with, and he was Clive's best mate at school. My brother thought he was Clive's best mate at school anyway. He was like Clive was his best mate. And we were having quite a tough home life. And my brother was never at home. He would spend all his time down at Clive's place. Okay, so he's a rough diamond. He still is. He's still not walking with the Lord, but he will be. But he's not easy. And he's probably not the kind of lad you would want your son hanging out with all the time. But Caroline and Colin opened up their home and their hearts to my brother. And there's a whole generosity there in their spirit to have someone hanging out in their home with their son, who's not the greatest of influences. And praise God, Clive was strong enough to, just be there for my brother when he needed him, but not get swayed by him. But because they shared their lives with him and their time and their home and their food, I know, every day for a long time, my brother did give his life to the Lord, and he did know enough to lead my mum to the Lord right at the moment when she needed to hear the gospel, and she got saved and I got saved, and I'm standing here today and I'm married to Clive, and it's like everything's turned out rosy. But it's like you just don't know who you're entertaining and where it's going to lead. Because my brother still isn't walking with the Lord, but my mum got saved, I got saved, two of my best mates got saved, a whole bunch of people in our village got saved because these guys were generous with their lives. And I just want to, I guess, just talk a bit, just a bit about having a generous spirit and attitude towards other people, and that, and a generosity, you know, a real love, where we spend time with people that aren't necessarily savoury characters. Open up our homes and our lives and spend time with people. I had some, found some scriptures that I just want to share with you. It says here, Psalm 37, verse 26, says that they are generous and lend freely, and their children will be blessed. And the verse just before that says that, that the person's never seen God's people, their children, going hungry. When we lend, when we are generous, our children are blessed. Okay, when we're generous with our lives and open up our lives to others, it doesn't harm my children. They are blessed through it. Okay, Psalm 112, verse 5. Good will come to him who is generous. And this is not just with money. This is with our whole lives. And this, is, I believe, is something God wants to do. He is already doing in this church. I know many of you are generous. Generous in your home lives and as families. Proverbs 11, verse 25 says, the generous prosper and are satisfied. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Proverbs 22, verse 9. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. And it's great that we honour one another and bless one another and look after one another, but there's a whole mass of people out there that don't know about generosity. And actually, when we are generous with them, when we go over the top in giving, when we give them money, when they have, you know, this is non-Christians, when we give them money because they're in need, it so speaks to them of God's goodness. It so speaks to them, and we need to be as a body like that with the lost, not just one another. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. Now, Paul was talking to Timothy, he was a young man, and he gave this, it was a command to the rich to do good. Now, we it's sitting in this church in this country are rich. Okay, we are rich. This government or whatever will supply your needs if you haven't got a job. There are so many. Yes, okay, you can feel, you know, you can be not have a lot and you can struggle, but actually we are a blessed people. We are a rich people, and the command is to do good. The command is to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share what we have, what he has given us. Even if to you it seems small at the moment, we have to have a generous heart that wants to share with others. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. To lay up a firm foundation for the coming age for yourself is to be generous, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Freely we have received, so freely give. And that's just not finances, that's everything God has given us. Everything God has given us. I just want to, this scripture is just awesome. I've been reading for a few weeks, Isaiah 61 verse 10. In the New Living Translation, I think in the NIV it says, I delight greatly in the Lord and rejoice greatly in my God, or something like that. But I've sung that so many times, it's like it doesn't mean anything anymore. But I read this. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. For he has dressed me with clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I'm like a bridegroom in his wedding suit or a bride with her jewels. We are overwhelmed with joy in the Lord our God, not with everything he's given us or everything he does for us in the physical, but he has dressed us with clothing of salvation. Amen. And draped us in a robe of righteousness. We're like a bridegroom in his wedding suit or a bride with her jewels. We have so much. We have been blessed with so much. We have got so much to offer others, young Christians, immature people, the lost. We have so much. When we know we are overwhelmed with all that, we will be able to share. We will want to share that with those that need it. I think as a mum, you have fantastic opportunities to meet with the lost and get involved in everyday life, everyday people. You know, even when you're pregnant and you go to the club, the classes, and that's just a wonderful place to start, getting involved in other people's lives. And actually, they will see the goodness of God in you. They'll see the peace of God on you. They'll see, yes, they will see God in your lives. Okay, so right from the word go, as parents, you can get involved in non-Christians' lives, okay, when your kids are at school. And I agree with everything I say about, you know, kids going to church schools and having the word, right for the word go. I agree with that. But at the same time, my kids are in state schools, normal schools, and we've had so many opportunities to speak into the lives of those kids and their families. And it's because we spend time, we want to embrace their mates into our homes and into our lives. And where we used to live, we used to have sleepovers all the time with the kids in the street, and that's how we got to involve with the parents. And it's just like opening up your hearts and your homes to the lost. And one of the things that I think about, because when I met Clive, and he was, you know, pastor's son, and I hadn't known the Lord very long, and I was still smoking, and I was still drinking, and I still had issues that took a long time for God to sort. And I often think, how would I react if Joe came home now with a girl that was still smoking, still drinking, still had major issues, going on in their family life? It's just sort of like, even my thinking, I know I've become religious. Because God saw me for what I was going to be. And that's how he wants us to look and see the young people, not just the young people, but all those around us. Yes. Amen? Because yes. He sees the end from the beginning. Yes. Let's read Isaiah 61. In whatever situation we're in, whatever we're, you know, mum out, you know, mixing with, whatever situation we're in, whether at work, you need to know this word. I speak this word over my life most days. You need to just really get to grips with this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. Okay, he did this for me, and now he wants to do this through me. He did it for you, and now he wants to do it through you. He's appointed you to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. Amen. And to announce that captives will be released and prisoners will be free. Today is the day of salvation. Every day for somebody is the day of salvation. We're not waiting for anything to happen. Captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come. And with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. We can see them cut off from every bondage of the enemy. Amen. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. For the Lord has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. Before I was saved, I had been planted like a strong and graceful oak for his glory. There are thousands out there God has already established in his kingdom. They are planted. When we see them with that, how he sees them, when we see the end from the beginning, We will do this. We will know that we can get them from A to Z. And all the bits in between where we will walk through it with them. We can see it happen in their lives. It happened with us, and we can see it happen through us. And that is being generous. That is looking beyond our own, what we've got. Yes, I'm overwhelmed with joy because what God has given me. But I can do this today. I can see this happen today because God has ordained it for somebody else and through me for it to happen. Amen? And it's what do we do with these? Is what do we do, you know, with these words? The word that James Maloney has brought a couple of times in this church in the last few years is one of the greatest expressions of kingdom faith will be through the youth and the young people. One of the greatest expressions of kingdom faith in this nation and beyond will be through the youth and the young people and our kids. But what do we do with a word like that? Because we've had that several times in the last couple of years, and it's what do we do with that? What do we do with that when we're running out of leaders to run the kids' work? When we can't hold J247 for the second service because we haven't got enough people? What do we do with a word like that? And I just want to... we're going to pray in a moment, but in Judges 5, it talks about Deborah, and I always keep seem to go back to Deborah. But Judges 5, verse 7, it says, there were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother. And it says in verse 12, wake up, Deborah, wake up, wake up, wake up, and sing a song. And there was something in this woman that rose up in faith. And rose up because she was a prophetess. She had the word of God for her nation. She rose up, okay? And it says, sing a song. She had something in her spirit that she had to release, not just obviously through prayer and talking, but in action. And I believe that as a church, that we're carrying this word from God. He has said the greatest, one of the greatest expressions will be through our youth. Through our children. That is a word to us that we have to carry, we have to pray, we have to sing and declare over our own children's lives. But this is for everybody, not just the mums, okay? Dads, everybody in this church, this is a prophetic word to our church. We have to carry this and we have to actually work to see it happen. What is the strategy from God to see this come about in this locality, in this nation? Amen? And also is Isaiah 54. It's a very now word for this church. Sing, O childless woman. Break forth into loud and joyful song, even though you never gave birth to a child. Now, in one sense, if someone is actually going through that, to tell them to sing is a very hard thing to do and the very hard thing for them to receive. But actually, it can break open what is in there. Okay, it can break open bondages. It can break open what is stopping reproduction in their life. Okay, for that person to actually rah, go for it. Okay, and there is that. That's what God wants on the inside of us. For our youth, for our young, for the generation out there that God wants to see saved. This roar in the inside that will sing out. Because God says, for the woman who could bear no children now has more than all the other women. So even if you're not a mother physically here, you are a mother spiritually. There are thousands of children for you. Okay? For the woman who could bear no children now has more than all the other women, says the Lord. Enlarge your house. Build an addition, spread out your home. And that is what we're doing here. We are building here. This church, we are building on the strong foundation. He's telling us to move out, spread out, spread out your home, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. That is what is inside of us, in our spirit, in this church. We will be bursting at the seams. Amen? And that needs to be our cry, our faith. But it goes on to say, your descendants will take over other nations. Yes. and live in their cities. Our descendants, we are building, our children, my children, are going to take over nations and live in their cities. They are going to be carrying in them what it takes to have influence and dominate in the spirit, but physically. And we need to proclaim that over their lives. If you're a parent and you don't know what it is you should be praying into their lives, speaking over them, training them for, is because they are going to go further than you. They're going to have more influence than you. They are going to bring domination wherever they walk, because that is the word of the Lord. Right. And that's what we need to be carrying inside of us. And that's what we need to be proclaiming over our young people. And that generosity that we'll put into their lives. I just want to say that we opened our home to... We've always had people living with us since we first got married. And it's not always been easy, but it's always been right and it's always been a joy. And when Joe was two, we had a young guy who was a rock drummer who was coming to the Bible college move in with us. He had long hair and... Yeah, he was just a 17-year-old. Actually, he was Matt Guttridge. Many of you know Paul Guttridge, who's a great friend of ours, and a totally crazy guy. Well, his brother Matt is even more crazy, and he lived with us, and he shared bunk beds with Joe for a long time. Him and Joe, they were best mates. Joe was like 2, 3, 4, 5, I think, before... because then we had Toby. He was with us when we had Toby. And we lived in loads of houses. We kept moving around because we had this vision for a bigger place to have lots of people living with us. So we were going renting place to place, moving around. And these young people have moved with us, and we've squeezed them into rooms and squeezed our kids into... They've shared so that we can have people living with us. But it's just been fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Our children have been so blessed by having... people live with us. They've given up to have, and they haven't moaned. It's just been part of their lives. They've grown up with it, so I don't think they know what to compare it to, really. And at the moment, you can imagine how blessed Megan is having Sarah Purnell living with us. Okay, Megan came out of Sarah's bedroom yesterday morning. Look, Mummy, bright pink fingernails. And Sarah doesn't know this, but Megan came to the bedroom and she said, "I love Sarah. I think she's fabulous." And she ran into her room and she said to her, "I love you more than chocolate." Megan is a fantastically strong character, and she is thoroughly enjoying having Sarah Purnell live with us. I could just recommend open up your homes and embracing people, young people, whatever state they're in. God, if you have got a peaceful, stable home life, you will bless a young person. You don't have to be totally sorted. They don't have to be. You bring them into that godly environment and God will sort them. Right. He will do amazing things. You don't have to spend hours and hours discipling them. It's not going to hurt that much. God sorts them because it's a totally different environment to what they're used to. And they need that godly environment. Okay. We need to pray. Would you like to stand? What do you want to do?
I don't know. Do you want to pray or do you want me to pray?
Okay. Okay. Okay, let's shut our eyes and just start to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for everything that you have done in our lives. Father, we are overwhelmed with joy in you, Lord, because you have clothed us with salvation. You have robed us in righteousness. Father, we thank you that we are so overwhelmed with your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so good and you love to show that you are good. You love to show that you are kind, Lord, because you want to bless those out there, Father.
You want us to bless those out there, Father. You want us to know that we are anointed, that we do carry you, Lord, to those that need you. They need setting free, Father. They need your love, Father. They need to be set free from bondages, Father. Thank you for everything you have given to us, Lord. But Lord, we want to take it out, Father. We want to be generous, Lord, with everything you have given to us, Lord. We want to be so generous, Lord. We want a generous spirit, Father. You have blessed us abundantly, Lord. Lord, we want to be so generous with what you have given us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to open up our hearts, open up our homes, open up our lives, Lord, and give people time. Give them time, Lord. See them how you see them, Lord. You see the end from the beginning, Father. Help us, Lord, to see them with eyes of faith, Lord, that you have planted them strong and graceful for your glory. They are already out there, ordained, waiting for us to reach out to them, Lord, waiting for us to speak to them, to love them. Lord, lead us to them today, tomorrow, this week. Lead us to those that need saving, Lord. Lead us to those that need your heart, that need setting free, that need your life. They need to choose life and they need to know there's an option. They need to know there's an option. Just pray in the spirit. Come on. Kulabashi kulala mondeli kirarara boshundololo mondala baki kekerende. Thank you, Jesus. We want to take every word that you have given us, either as parents, Lord, or as a church. We want to take every word that you have given, Lord. We want to be able to declare it over their lives, Father, over our young people, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Kurobo shunda la mande kina ramande de kia ramande de shegenende. Let the Holy Spirit rise up within you. The word he has given you, the promises, the faith, let it rise up within you right now. Let's go for it in the spirit, because there are thousands of young people out there. If the greatest expression is going to be through the youth and the young people, we need to cry out to God to see them come in. We need to cry out to God to see them established. There is a cry in his heart for this generation. There is a cry. There is a mother's heart that wants to raise up on the inside of us, that will not let go, that will fight. And it costs us. We will fight for our children, for the next generation. We will contend for them in the spirit, and we will do the works that God shows us to do to see them come into his kingdom. Yes, Do it, Lord. You have spoken. We thank you that you will bring it about. You will show us. You will show us and you will do it in us, Lord. To see your word established. We thank you that you watch over your word to see it perform. Whether it's over the church or whether it's over our individual kids, Lord. You watch over your word to see it perform. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. We praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Yes, Father, we thank you. Freely we've received, freely we can give. Father, we thank you that we have such an abundance in our lives to be able to give to others. Father, I thank you that you open up our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, the eyes in our physical eyes, Father, just to see what you see in other people. That compassion would be triggered in a fresh way when we look at other people. That we would see what people's needs are, and you are just witnessing our hearts at those moments for us to be the answer to that person and for their situations in their life. You would open up our eyes where there's blinkers, Father, where we've missed things or not seen things. Just open up our eyes, Holy Spirit, and show us people in a new light, in a new way, Father. And that as in doing so, Father, our hearts open up in a fresh way, our homes and our lives are open up in a fresh way to embrace people, Father, to embrace those that maybe at this point don't have what you've given us, but you've put that in us so that we can help others receive and be that contact point, that touch from you into their lives, Father. We thank you, Jesus. There might be some people here this morning and you've never had the opportunity to get to know Jesus yourself, give your life to him. And we want to give you the opportunity this morning just to make that first step in giving your life to Jesus. And you've heard about things this morning, the way God has done things in Jane's life and in her family. And you've been sitting there thinking, man, well, God's never done that for me. But if God's done that for her, then it'd be great if that I want the same knowing of God, the relationship with God as she has. And just want to give you the opportunity this morning to pray and take a first step in giving your life to God. And if that's something in your heart this morning, something that you wanted to do to begin to give your life to Jesus and for him to give his life to you, we're just going to pray and take a couple of moments. I'm just going to pray, and if that's something you want to pray, then it'd be great just to not just think in your mind, but mouth the words, actually talk to God yourself. You know, prayer at this point is just simply talking to God. And you can express in your heart the way you want to express it. I'm just going to pray, and you can pray from your own heart now and talk to God yourself. If you wanted to take that first step to give your life to Jesus this morning, first of all, just thank him. Just thank him for his amazing love. Thank him for his amazing love for you. He died on the cross for you. Just thank him. Taking all your sin and all your guilt and all the things in your life that separate you from him, just thank him now that he died on the cross for you. Now just ask him to forgive you for sin, for all the things that separate you from him. Just, hey, Jesus, ask you to forgive me. I choose to turn away from living my own life my own way right now. I want to turn around. I don't want to give my life to you right now. I thank you that you forgive me. But I ask you that you would just begin to, or you would come into my life and begin to show yourself to be so real in me. And I lay down my life to you, to give it to you. And I thank you that you give me your life right now. What a great exchange that is. Thank you that you give me your life right now. And I thank you that I can begin a relationship with you, begin to walk with you for the rest of my life. And just thank him for your forgiveness. Thank him that he forgives you. Thank him now that he puts his life in you. There's a couple of people here this morning and you're praying this prayer at the moment. You can just sense. It's like you can sense something different happening around you in your body now. You can feel like it's the presence of God just touching you right now. God's saying, I'm real. I'm here. I want to know you. I want you to know me. One of you just felt a real weight just lift off your life as you ask him to forgive you. And there were certain things you had in mind when you asked him to forgive you, things, situations. And when you asked him to forgive you, it's like God says, I forgive you of that. It's wiped clean. It's history. And you felt like a weight has lifted off you in the last couple of minutes. And that's just God touching your life. It's Jesus coming into your life. And just thank him that he's your Lord, he's your Savior. Thank him for his amazing love for you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you've prayed that this morning, everybody else is just praying. Can you just raise one of your hands so I can see you? You prayed this morning. There's a lady just down here. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that you're touching lives right now. Father, I just pray for those that are responding to you, that you would just seal in their heart what you're doing right now. Father, I thank you. This is just the beginning of a whole new way of life, a whole new direction in their life. We just pray right now. I pray for you right now that you'd come to know God in such a deep way, such a personal way, that you'd find such joy in knowing God, that you'd have just such a new hope in your heart and life because of Jesus coming to live in you today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. You're going to bless them abundantly in every way in their lives from today. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your name. Let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Let's thank the Lord for those that have just been responding this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's great. Just turn to somebody as you sit.